God or gods. We create which we consider to be responsible for why we're here. The Big Bang. That's why we're here. And we worship it. We acknowledge it. We're thankful for it. I'm so thankful the Big Bang happened. I love it when nothing explodes and this is what you get. But that's the reality. It's the issue of giving thanks. It's kind of like this. I always say kind of when I go with analogies that I've come up with because they fall short and fail in some way, shape, or form. But it's kind of like this. You have someone living in your home. They sleep in your bed. They eat your food. They turn the heat up when it's cold. The air conditioning on when it's hot. They run the water. They enjoy the roof that doesn't leak. And they never even give you the time of day. They don't acknowledge you, let alone thank you for it. In that analogy, the house is creation. This world, life and breath in our lungs, and I'm getting this from Acts chapter 17, by the way, when Paul tells those in Athens that God has given us rain and season, He provides food. It's the same concept. I'm just using a house as an analogy. But you're so familiar with a house, you can kind of understand what it would be like to have someone living in your house and never even giving you the time of day, never acknowledging you, let alone giving thanks to you, but they sleep in your bed and they eat your food and they use your water and run up your bills and live as if you don't even exist. That's what's going on here. And it is for that that every single person that ever lived will answer to God. And that'll be the question. That'll be the deciding issue. Not where were you on the night of July 14th at 7 p.m. when such and such happened. But it'd be kind of like that. It'll be, did you acknowledge me and give thanks to me? And everyone will say, no. No. Over in chapter 3, verse 9 of Romans, what then, are Jews any better off? Not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jew and Greeks, that makes everyone, are under sin. Some of you might have come up with that answer. People will face God's justice because of their sin. Absolutely. But what is their sin? This is it in chapter 1, verse 21. They didn't honor God as God or give thanks to Him. All other expressions of sin flow from that sin. That is the heart of sin, the root of sin, the mother of all sins, if you will. In that sin, there is the thinking that we know better. And so we don't give God the time of day or give thanks to Him. And everything else that we would call sin flows from that. Just think about it. It's really quite simple, huh? Not giving thanks is an expression of pride. Let's go back to that house situation. And the person living in it with you doesn't acknowledge you or give thanks to you. What kind of attitude or perspective do they have? Self-entitlement. Oh, now I just described America. But wait, it's not just Americans. It's everyone born from Adam and Eve. Chapter 3 goes on to say, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks God, all have turned aside. It's not just Americans, it's not just millennials, it's not just this generation, it's not just the past decade, it's ever since Adam said, I'm going to eat that piece of fruit that you said not to because I think I know better. And I'm not going to acknowledge you or give thanks to you for all that I have in this garden. I'm going after the one thing you said not to. He didn't acknowledge God or give thanks to Him. That's the issue. So giving thanks is a critical issue. It's not a secondary issue. It's not unimportant or just one thing. It is the thing, the issue. For Christians, giving thanks is our privilege. It is our calling. Romans, none. None. Therefore, all are guilty, all without excuse. So how will any stand before a God who is just, perfect in all His ways? God has to provide a way for both justice to be met and mercy and grace to be had. He can't simply say, you know what, just forget about it. None of you have acknowledged me or given thanks to me, but you know, that's okay. We'll be good to go. Forget it. I will not keep that standard. He just failed to be just. He just failed to be God, the God of Scripture. No. The penalty for that failure to give thanks must be met. The payment, the retribution, must be made. And it has been made. It has been made. No mere man could do it, because only a mere man could make the payment for himself or herself, one for one. But God the Son makes it on behalf of all of His people. Turn with me to Ephesians. We could go right through Romans and you could see this. But I want to turn to Ephesians now and show you that giving thanks is the Christian's privilege, the Christian's calling. And it's been read for us. John read it for us a moment ago. In Ephesians chapter 5, so if you're in Romans, you go through Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Verse 20 says, giving thanks always, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always, and this letter is written to Christians, the saints who are in Ephesus, chapter 1, verse 1. Saints biblically means Christians. Saints, holy ones, those who are set apart by the work of Christ, the blood of Christ, not special things they did in life. This is who this is written to. It's a command. Giving thanks always and for everything. That's the Christian's calling. That's the Christian's privilege. You see it in Colossians also. You see it in Philippians. You see it all over the place. And what do we just see in Romans? The failure to give thanks is why anyone will face God's justice. They'll face judgment. They will receive justice. Yet here's the Christian called to give thanks. And for everything. To God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. What's important there is the context. To Christians, we give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, on the name of means on the basis of. His name isn't some like incantation. You say it. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you say it, it's good to go. No, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ means that He is your Lord Jesus. And remember what Christ means. Messiah. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Your Lord and Savior. The promised one. You give thanks in His name. Meaning on the basis of what He's accomplished, what He has brought about. This is made very clear, succinctly, quickly, in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Notice the word beloved there is past tense. Actually, it's a present tense, something that's true, that began in the past, and is now true and forever true. These instructions are given to those who are loved children. Those who have escaped God's justice because of what Christ has done. You don't give thanks to get saved. You don't give thanks to get loved. You don't give thanks to become a child of God. You give thanks because you've been made a child of God. Verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What Christ has accomplished. That's why the Christian can give thanks, and why the Christian is to give thanks always for everything. Back to that house example. Two people living in your house. Neither one acknowledge you. Both sleep in your bed, use your heat, your water, eat your food, take your parking spot, leave their laundry where you walk, don't flush the toilet, don't clean up the sink, don't do their dishes. But then one of them gets transformed, is brought from death to life, Ephesians chapter 2, and has been made new, and is now alive to you. And they not only have the bed and the food and the running water and the heat and the house to live in, but they have an eternal inheritance. That's you and I if you're a Christian. The house is creation. Everyone lives in it. Everyone gets that. The Christian is a new creation, so that now sees all of creation differently and has eyes upon the maker of heaven and earth, who is also their Savior. The one that delivers them from the justice before a holy God that they deserve, that we deserve. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." What does that mean? You weren't giving God the time of day. Didn't give Him thanks for anything. Acted like you didn't exist. You thought you knew better. Verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What are they? What are those good works spelled out for us? Just go back to chapter 5. And a central one, a critical one, the heart of the matter is giving thanks to God. The Christian is able to, for the same reason they're to give thanks. Jesus. Whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or not. Whether the town burns down or just a portion of it. Whether you're in the hospital, homeless on the street, single, married, whatever it may be. Always. Why? Because of Jesus. This is how he starts out the letter. Notice I've been working backwards through Ephesians. Chapter 1. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The first part there, blessed be God. In other words, praise, glory, and honor to Him. The second part of the verse then says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons. That includes women's too. It's a catchphrase. Don't split hairs there. Through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. There's that word, beloved. The beloved there is Jesus. In chapter 5, verse 1, we're called beloved. In Christ, we are beloved. In the beloved, we are beloved. Verse 7, chapter 1, in Him we have redemption. We've been bought and paid for. The penalty paid. The price paid. How? Through His blood. What is that redemption through His blood? The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. His kindness, which He lavished. You know what lavish means, right? There are some in my family who lavish butter on bread. You know what that looks like? I do. I'm like, where's the bread? How about a little bread on your butter? Right? Jelly too. Some people, I do not like an overabundance of jelly, but some they just lavish it on. My wife's going, yes, preach it, brother. And I'm all like, barely put any jelly. Matter of fact, I need a peanut butter sandwich. Point being is, you know what lavish looks like. But we're not talking about butter or peanut butter or jelly. We're talking about the eternal riches of God's grace. Known right now, and yet to be experienced fully and completely. Verse 8, back to verse 8. Which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of His will, who works all things to the counsel of His will, so that we, who are the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Giving thanks is the Christian's privilege. Matter of fact, only the Christian can give thanks to God. Because the Christian is the one who is in Christ, so you give thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our privilege, it is even our calling. Christ makes us able to give thanks, and He is ultimately the one for whom we are to give thanks in all circumstances, at all times. Here's the other thing. One more thing about giving thanks. If you're in Ephesians, turn over a few pages to Colossians. You got to flip around a little bit when it's topical. That's the way it works. Colossians 3, does this sound familiar? Verses 12 to 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Okay? Put on then. In other words, live this way, not in order to become God's chosen ones, not in order to become holy and loved, but because you've already been made holy. You're loved in Christ, secure in that love. Live this way. Put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now this passage does two things for us. It reiterates the point that giving thanks is the Christian's privilege, the Christian's calling. It's to mark our lives because we are alive in Christ. But it also is for the Christian's benefit here and now. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see this also in Philippians. Back up just a couple of pages. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 7. Yet another letter to Christians. Towards the end of the letter, getting clear instructions. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious. Do not worry, fret over, lose sleep over anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, there's that peace of God mentioned again, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know what an anxious person is? A person who has a troubled heart and a troubled mind. There's no stillness. There's no sense of all is right. Why? Because there's a focus on something that's not right. But for the Christian, all is right, though we do not now see all things made right. But they will be. Justice will be seen by all and experienced by all. The Christian will come before the throne, and what will be seen? Someone who is spotless, innocent, and able to stand before God because of the blood of Christ. Justice. And those who are not in Christ will be accounted guilty because they didn't give thanks to God or acknowledge Him. And there will be the new heavens and the new earth, and all will be made new, and then there will be no more backbiting and hating and killing and disease and dying or crying or lying. Then there will be. For the Christian, we know that all is right, though that is not made to be so just now. And yet the peace that comes with being made right with God, who will make all things right in Christ and through Christ, is to be known and experienced now. Peace. And that peace comes about for the Christian experientially as we give thanks. Let your request be made known. Are you going to be anxious about things? Absolutely. Are things going to make you scared or sad? Are you going to worry about them? Absolutely. What do you do with them? Well, if you're a Christian, you lay them at God's feet. You make your request known with thanksgiving, verse 6, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I remember standing on our burnt lot this time last year with the insurance adjuster. And I walked him around, said, this is where the property line is. Yeah, that was a shed. Here was this and there was that. And he said, you're handling this pretty well. And I said, well, this is not my home. My home is with Christ. Now, it's still been one heck of a year. It's been hard. It's been exhausting. I have been anxious all too often. But at the end of the day, all is right, though that is not now seen or played out. All is right because according to God's lavish kindness, I am right with Him through Christ. And my calling, your calling, our privilege is to give thanks always in all things. We thank Him for the bed to sleep in. Back to that analogy, sort of, kinda. But even if you don't have a bed to sleep in, you thank Him that the current situation does not separate you from His everlasting love. Matter of fact, Romans 8, right? Not even death separates the Christian from the love of God that is in Christ. Application? Pretty obvious, isn't it? And yet, do we walk in it? Wake up and give thanks. I don't mean wake up now, but yeah, wake up if you're sleeping now. When you wake up, give thanks. Give thanks when you got some kind of food to eat. Give thanks when you're dealing with the dryer that doesn't work because the thing is still plugged. Give thanks when you got a flat tire. Give thanks when your house is gone. Give thanks in whatever circumstances, in whatever we're facing, give thanks. And know the peace of God, which makes no sense to us, to people, in our own thinking, in our own estimation. And when you're facing something frustrating, difficult, causing you to worry, it's this simple. If your faith is in Christ, come back to this and go, thank you. Thank you that this, whatever it is, this conflict, this problem, this disease, this distraction, this lack of whatever, this thank you that doesn't separate me from your love in Christ Jesus. It's that simple. Why is it so hard? Because we're proud. Oh, how I wish that when our faith was in Christ, it was like a light switch. And pride would be gone, but it's not. We always long to think that we got it. What does that look like when you're anxious? You don't stop thinking about whatever's making you anxious. You lose sleep over whatever's making you anxious. You can't function properly in other things because of what's making you anxious. That's pride. That's why it's so hard. But not impossible for the Christian. The Christian can give thanks, is to give thanks, has the reason to give thanks, always, in all circumstances, for all things, to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer. Lord God, thank You for Thanksgiving, the reminder of the issue of giving thanks. Thank You for the clarity in Your Word. Thank You indeed for Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've accomplished. Thank You, Father, for Your lavish kindness. For when we were dead in our sins, when we were running around hating You and not giving thanks to You, You made us alive in Christ. Thank You for faith, for the gift of faith, for the presence of Your Holy Spirit in us. Father, thank You for this time that we've had, for comfortable chairs and a roof over our head and climate control. Father, as we go forth, thank You that no matter what comes next, if we are alive in Christ, nothing separates us from Your love. We are Your children, beloved, secure, because of what Jesus has accomplished. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your forgiveness and patience as we, even Christians, all too often run around not acknowledging You or giving thanks to You. Worrying and being anxious, thank You for Your forgiveness in Christ, that when we confess our sins, You forgive us our sins and cleanse us for all unrighteousness. Thank You for Jesus, for Your love in Him. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to send you off with those wonderful closing words from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.